letter A, verses 4 to 7. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even unto me? That's a good question. You know, the question is, why are you fasting? And I think God knew, and I think what we're talking about here is, it's just like us today. You can come to church and still be indifferent in church, still kind of get into the routine and habit and tradition. And that's what God's dealing with them. Is, are they truly, you know, is their heart right? God's going to deal with their heart attitudes. Their heart. So that's the question. It's necessary for God to deal with the heart. And we know that when you start getting into the New Testament and the church and the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of keeping rules and traditions so much as it is faith, love, and a desire to please the Lord. And they all stem from our hearts. Anyone can outwardly go through actions. Remember, Jesus rebuked them how outwardly they looked good, but on the inward they were far from God. So what good does the outward do? You know, the Pharisees, remember the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. So outwardly they appeared nice and obedient, keeping the law, but inwardly they were not. Their hearts were far from God. And we have to be careful to measure our spirituality by rules. You know, like I do this, I do that, so I'm spiritual. Now, part of it's not wrong to have rules and disciplines, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to be careful that we are walking with God in our hearts and obeying the Lord from the heart rather than just getting into tradition. So he's not only addressing, you notice here, he says, speak unto the people of the land and to the priest, amen. Not just the people, but the priest also. He wants everyone to hear this because everyone was fasting. And so, remember when we go back to the preaching of the prophets before the captivity and the fall of Jerusalem, what did God teach the people? So this isn't something new. You go all the way back, even to Samuel. Let's go back and look at a few verses. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you know that story. Remember King Saul? And he said, you know, hey, we kept the animals because we wanted to offer a sacrifice. When God said, kill everything. And then in verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many of you are going to go and get involved in witchcraft? Openly. Seek it out. But God says when we are living in disobedience and rebellion in our hearts to him, it's as evil as witchcraft. Did we ever think of that? So sometimes we don't like these types of verses, right? How about stubbornness? And I'm not talking about just the fact that someone has a character that may be difficult or, you know, hard-headed. I'm talking about, are you hard-headed towards the Lord? Because it says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. How many of you are going to worship idols today? Go seek that. But God says our rebellion, our stubbornness is just as evil. And he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we know the rest of the story. That long path. Remember, the next chapter is when God seeks out David, a man after his own heart. And then how Saul continued in the kingship. How about Psalm 50 and 51? Remember those Psalms with David when he had to get right with God? What's he say? Psalm 50, verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine in the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? All for under God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High God. The Most High. So, do you see that? And when you start putting it in context, God says, you know, you can offer me all the animals in the world. I own them all. But if your heart's not right with me, what good is it? He said, offer me thanksgiving. You know, that's from the heart. Psalm 51, the next chapter, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. And I think we need to add verse 17. The sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. So what's God want? The heart. Amen. We know Isaiah proclaimed a message, and I won't go there, but Isaiah 58 has a good message. Isaiah 58 talks about fasting. Isaiah 1, remember how God just got on him for, you know, I don't want your sacrifice. They're making me sick, he said. You need to get right with me in your sin, remember? And then Psalm 58 talks about Isaiah 58, the fast that God accepts. That's a good chapter, by the way. How about Micah? We already studied this, but these are these famous verses that make really good messages, by the way. Micah 6:6. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. But to do what? Justly. To love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. That's very clear. You know, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Or will he be pleased with just to walk righteously, to love mercy, and to walk humbly? Which is it? Amen? Now, it's not to say, remember what Jesus said, you ought to do this and not leave the other undone. Amen? Go to Matthew 23. I probably don't have it here, but it's good to have. And we will begin reading there. Of course, this whole chapter is what you get a lot of these. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. And he goes on, woe, 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 you blind guides. And then he goes to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What is it? Judgment, mercy, and faith. So, the point is, God, and he says, these ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. So, there are things in the Word of God that we, like, we're to come to church, amen. We're to give our tithes and offerings. We're to sing songs and worship the Lord. We're to pray and even fast. But if we do all this without this, without what he, like Micah, you know, justice and love mercy and walk humbly. And here he says, judgment, mercy, and faith, you know. What does God think of us when we give all those things, yet we're not right in our heart? So Zechariah is not condemning traditions as such. You know, traditions are good. Because traditions pass on values that we have. And you could have family traditions, and you can have different traditions you pass down to your children and grandchildren. And there's nothing wrong with traditions. And even in church, a lot of things we do in church are traditions. It may not be a commandment. Like Sunday school was a tradition. Having Sunday morning and Sunday night is a tradition. The Bible doesn't tell you to meet Sunday morning and Sunday night or Wednesday night. See what I'm saying? But they're good traditions. Now, we're to meet on Sunday. We're to worship on Sunday. We're to teach God's word. So there's things that we do that are fulfilling commandments, but the way we do them, we could say, are a traditional way. Like if I said now we're not having Sunday school anymore, we're just having one service, some of you would leave the church because that's a tradition you like. But it wouldn't necessarily be wrong if we're fulfilling the rest of God's word by teaching and discipling, because maybe we want to meet in homes every night of the week and teach the children that way. In the neighborhoods and invite kids in that way instead of bringing them into a church building. What if we did that instead of meet Sunday morning in a room? And then we did that for 20 years and 30 years as a tradition. See what I'm saying? So we have to be careful that we understand where we're going with all this and what are the goals, because we don't want to fall into religious indifference. Like, yeah, I go to Sunday school every Sunday. What do you remember? What do you know? Quote the verses you memorized. Quote the books of the Bible you memorized. Oh, I don't know them. What did we learn? See what I'm getting at? God says, I want your heart. I want you to truly seek me, and I want you to learn of me, and I really want you to apply my word, you know, go through Deuteronomy. Cursings and blessings. Cursings and blessings. It's all based on obedience to God's word. If you do the, if you hear my commandments, if you do these things, I will bless you. If you turn your ear away from me, if you harden your heart and you disobey me, I will curse you, God says. So I'm not, and this is where we have to be careful, you know, how far we take this. No one is saying that traditions are wrong if they're biblical, like principally based, like teaching is a command, right? Teach disciples, make disciples. How are we going to do it? Well, we want to do it in Sunday school. We want to do it, you know, in ladies' meetings and men's meetings. And this is how we choose to do it. But you're fulfilling the principles and commandments of God. That's good. Now, go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:31. What's the goal in all this? And I think this verse applies, brethren, when you go back to the Old Testament there, and God was talking about, if you fast, are you fasting unto me? And if you feast, are you feasting unto me? Or if you eat, are you eating unto me? And he's talking about the feast, the religious feast, amen. Because they were commanded to eat at all those feasts, by the way. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye what? Eat or drink or fast or go to church or give your tithe or witness, whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. Do it all to the glory of God. So, brethren, no matter what we're doing, if we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we need to do it for the honor of the Lord, not to complete. Okay, I read my Bible today. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, I read my Bible this year. Are we closer to God? Has anything changed in our life? Are we more obedient? Are we serving God more? It's not just ticking the list that makes us spiritual. Reading your Bible is a command. Reading your Bible, it says, blessed are they that read. Amen. It's a blessing. You're going to be blessed. But our heart needs to be in it. And we need to do it for the right reasons, for the glory of God. Remember the answer. I think I jumped forward. Go back to Zechariah chapter 8, 19. Obviously, God's telling them, all right, get your hearts right. But in Zechariah 8, 19, he gives them clear instruction, the next chapter, which, Lord willing, next week I'll get into that. He said, Zechariah 8, 19, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. So God was saying, those fasts that you kept during the captivity, are now to be replaced with feasting and joy and gladness. You're not to do that anymore, God said. He gave him an answer. And really, brethren, obviously, when you come into fasting, we also have to look down to the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of Christ. When he sits on the throne, there will be justice and truth. Anyway, I have a question here. Instead of living in the past tense and mourning over calamities, why not live in the future tense and rejoice over what God has promised to do for his people? Isn't that a good question for us? How many times do we get stuck in the past? Amen? When we should be focused on the future. And I think that is a key in the world in which we're living. And I hope we're seeing that we need to be focused on the hope and the coming of the Lord and the promises of God. That is our true, that is what's going, that faith in what God is going to do is going to sustain us in our most difficult times. Amen. I didn't make it, did I? There's a rebuke in verses 8 to 14. Let's just read it and save it. Not the outline, but, and then I'll prepare chapter 8. Maybe I don't know if every Sunday we have a missionary. Some of them canceled out on me, so I don't know how that works. But canceled, I mean, it's changed. They had to change. The Wyatts did. We were George Wyatt, anyway. I'll have to look at the list. Read the rest of this chapter, says verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother. Isn't that Micah 6 and Matthew 23:23? Amen. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. What's God saying? Don't be like your fathers, you know, the disobedient Israelites. Don't be like them. Verse 12, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words of the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Remember, Deuteronomy, blessings and cursings. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. That's sad, isn't it? And then he says, verse 14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Isn't that what we see? Where are the Jews today? Where were they in history? How many nations are they in? There's Jews in, where there was Jews in Chile, there's Jews in Argentina, there's Jews down in Africa. At least that's my experience where I lived and ministered and preached. There's Jews right here in Houston. There's Jews in Russia. There's Jews in the Ukraine. There's Jews. What happened? I scatter them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Brethren, we need to learn from the past. Amen. Let's not repeat these things that we should be learning of and guarding in our hearts. Amen. All right, let's pray.